The Colts Daily Update podcast and the weekly Horseshoe FAQ podcast are now available on their own on iTunes and TuneIn. Search Colts Daily Update or Horseshoe FAQ and subscribe today.
Welcome to another Colts Daily Update on Colts.com.
Welcome to the Colts Daily Update. I'm Caroline Cann, Matt Taylor, Andrew Walker. The whole crew is in here. Apparently, this is a big day. Thursdays are a big day. Everyone gets to hang out all together.
Thursdays, throwback Thursday.
Crowded room.
Thanks for including everyone, Matt Taylor. Matt Taylor makes the schedule of who does these, so is Thursday your favorite day to do these?
Every day is my favorite day to do these. It's the daily update. It's the daily privilege. It's the daily honor.
If you're listening in your car, buckle up, by the way.
Yeah, all three of us in here. We actually have no script today. We're just going to go. No. Let's talk first about this roster. It keeps, like always in the offseason, adding people, shuffling people, and two names that we haven't talked about yet, McCain and Howard, both offense and defense, getting more bodies up front. Are we surprised that it's bodies up front continuing to being added to this roster?
No, not at all. I mean, yeah, Chris Bauer, that's all he could talk about. And as we've figured out with Chris, when he says something,
he means it.
And with McCain, you know, if the Colts had signed a guy like McCain last year in that big kind of round of defensive signings they had, he'd be one of the marquee guys, I think, coming off the year he's coming off of with the Chargers. So
yeah.
Career year for him and a guy. And just looking at the timing, this you're going to see a lot of movement across the league because now the draft's over with, free agents, kind of that second or third round of free agency is going to go, and these picks don't count, these signings don't count against your draft picks for your comp picks next year. So you're going to see a little bit of movement, and these are two moves of veteran guys that are definitely going to help up front.
So that's now eight outside free agents that the Colts have brought in so far in the offseason, if my math is correct, Andrew. And for what the Colts are asking him to do, it's going to be another competitive signing, compete with guys like Terrell Basham and Denico Autry, the two rookies from the draft. Then you throw in guys from last season, the starters, if you will, Jabal Sheard, John Simon. Andrew, I have a hard time putting my finger on who has an edge as far as playing time is concerned.
Yeah, it seems like Jabal Sheard's one of your starters for sure. The consensus is he's in the prime of his career, and with all the pressures we saw him get last year, it seems like it's only a matter of time before he starts creeping in that 8, 9, 10 sack type performance.
Agree.
But then what do you do on the other side? John Simon. Now we've got, you know, all kinds of options. So, I mean.
But how many guys can they keep?
Not a lot. I mean.
You know, five pass rushers?
If we're talking specifically defensive end, yeah. I mean, especially if you want to keep 9 or 10 offensive linemen, as Chris Ballard's talked about, that you got to start cutting from other spots. So what do you do? So, yeah, I think it can't be more than 5 or 6 at the very most defensive
ends. So let's start counting then. Sheard, Simon, Terrell Basham, assuming he takes that step.
They think Basham. I think Basham.
The third round pick from last season.
Autry,
you bring over in free agency, and then the two guys they brought in the draft, do you think they're not going to, you know, they're very high on Toure. Tyquan Lewis has some flexibility to go inside and outside. That's, what was that, 6 right there?
Yeah, I mean, and then we're getting down to it. So, there's going to be heavy competition for that spot. And
I'm just excited to see whoever's going to be opposite. I mean, if we pencil in Jabal Sheard, whoever's opposite of him, because last year we saw some flashes of him being really good, but all the attention was on him once you started to get to the end of the season.
And Greg Rosenthal just today, and there'll be something up on our site that you would have already read by now about projected starters. He has his list of projected starters, and it's way too early to do that, but that's what you do at this point.
We do with everything.
But he has Sheard and Simon, which I wouldn't be surprised if Simon started. I mean, but it's just a different system for him. It's a little bit of a different position. So will it be Simon? Will it be Autry? Will it be? I mean, there's just really good.
I still like my guy Terrell Basham. I know I talk about it. I just think this is the defense for him. Like the fast, he doesn't have to think as much.
It is.
He's still young.
He could very well. He could very well boost up and be a starter by training camp or the preseason. But there's just a lot of options right now.
You mentioned the two that we drafted, Mate. They were later round picks. Where did they fall as far as a priority, do you think, if you put on your GM hat? Where do they fall in a priority when you're bringing in a guy and paying paying them in free agency to come in. Is that someone you lean toward more, like, oh, let's give him more time, or do you say, we paid this guy money, let's do this?
Yeah, I mean, I think they seem like later round picks, but they were both second round picks. The Colts just had four of them.
That
in
is
the
true.
Second round.
Gosh, that
so,
is
yeah.
true. Wow, you just caught me there.
Yeah, so Tyquan Lewis and Toure were both
second rounders.
They're second day guys on Friday.
There were only 11 of them for me to keep up with. I don't know why. I thought they were later round picks.
I know. It does get blurry after a while.
How many weeks ago was that? What?
But yeah, I think, I mean, obviously with draft picks, they want them to come in right away and contribute and play and develop. But if you're asking me who's going to have a shorter leash, I think it's going to be a guy like McCain, because I think he's going to have to come in right away in training camp in the preseason and prove that he is worth a roster spot, because the Colts invested high draft capital on guys they think can eventually be great pass rushers in Lewis and Toure.
Yeah.
And let's not forget Lewis, and then Autry also have position flexibility. It appears to bump inside when needed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while they're not bona fide defensive tackles yet, they very well could be as the season progresses. So, and they're still looking for that stud defensive tackle that the Colts never really could seem to find in the 4-3 all those years in the first decade.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mate. I think it is the youth that you're going to invest in, especially it's everything we've heard from Chris Ballard. We want to go young. We want to find these homegrown names. I like it. I just like to put on the devil's advocate hat every now and then and say, well, let's make you pick a depth chart here. But no, there's going to be names in and out of this roster throughout this offseason and heading into training camp. So this won't be the last discussion we have about that. But let's stay defense here for a little bit. Let's go green. Okay, he spoke to the media earlier this week, and he just seemed different. Did TJ Green not just seem different when he walked into the room a little bit? It seemed very focused, just very straight to the point with answers, which normally when you talk to him, he is quiet. He's not going to talk a whole lot, but there was a slightly different sense about him, yes?
Yeah, I mean, and like you say, he's not a big talker per se, but he just, you know, he knows the time is now.
Yeah.
And last year was critical for him too. And then, as Chris Ballard admitted, you know, last week, I wanted to see him at cornerback because the cornerback position was being mowed down by injuries. He said, I wanted to see him at cornerback. That's what, when I was with the Chiefs, that's what we projected him as. And then, you know, it was kind of a little late in the process to get that going. And it kind of, you know, set things back a little bit for TJ Green, his development. And then later in the year, he actually started to play a lot better. So this is a big year for him. It's a defensive change. He likes the change, as everyone seems to.
Yeah.
You know, gives you a better chance to keep your eyes in the backfield on the quarterback and the play developing. But yeah, he's definitely, you know, this is a huge year for him, a huge offseason to make sure that he fits and can improve and make the changes needed to be a contributor.
Well, Walker said it, but let's listen to TJ Green. He was at the podium, exactly what he had to say about this upcoming year.
I want to be the guy. So, I mean, this year three for me, I'm focused. I got a family to take care of, a daughter to take care of. I'm just here to work.
You kind of understand the realities of this league, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, is that something that every player learns as they get into this league?
Yeah, I think, especially if you're not where you want to be at. I mean, you know your goals. You know where you want to be in this league, so just got to work for it. It is what it is. I mean, I come to work every day. I wasn't where I wanted to be. Just trying to get there.
Yeah, you heard it right there. He wants to be the guy. And that really, the DBs, I mean, yes, you're getting Clayton Gethers back and you're getting, you know, some guys back there that have more experience this year. But really just as a whole, I mean, whether it's cornerback or it's safety or whatever, they're still looking for the guy. They're still looking for who you can point back there and say, that's the leader. You think, you know, yes, Clayton Gethers coming back, he's kind of who everyone, at least in interviews I know with you, Mate, Malik Hooker saying that's who he looks to. I believe Matthias Farley has said the same thing. So you imagine him, but they're still looking for that guy. And TJ wants to be that guy.
Well, if you look at the attributes you want to see from the guy, TJ Green has all of them. He's chiseled. He's solid. He's fast. From what I saw yesterday, from what I heard yesterday, he seemed like a guy that was very serious, and a guy that was almost like emotionless, you know, and having the maturity to just kind of take it, I guess, from the media. They were asking him some pretty
tough questions,
hard questions, some reality setting in type of questions, and he took it and answered them And he just seems like he knows the reality for him with this team. The Colts have some safeties that they like. He's heading into year three. It's an important year. He knows he needs to be more consistent, more disciplined, and hopefully a scheme change where he's playing more zone. He can focus on seeing the ball, getting the ball, and using those God-given traits of his for next season.
I loved, too, to hear him say, I have a family to take care of. I have a daughter now. I mean, that's something he couldn't have said last year. So you know his perspective has completely changed. His daughter's very young. He posts a lot about her on social media, loves her to death. So it's just, even that too, if you don't, you know, we haven't seen him on the field, so you just don't know how focused they really are. But for him, it was immediate. It was like, no, here's what my priorities are. He was very matter of fact, and you said it. It was tough questions. He was very honest about it, saying, yeah, I didn't have that great of a year. I know that. I know what the realities are. So I'm excited to see that because, too, you hear from the DBs every time they've talked this offseason, everyone in the room is stepping up. Everyone knows that it is, you know, a big year for us. We can't play the we're just super young card anymore. They have that experience. So it's going to be a fun year for the DBs.
And there's only going to be four of them on the roster, at most five, but there's going to be four. So whoever is that third and fourth guy, you'd imagine Mathias Farley is going to be one, and at this point probably TJ Green, but they're going to play. They're going to play special teams. Right. They're going to play, you know, in rotation on the defense. So he's going to play, and they're going to, you know, he's going to get opportunities to show what he's done. So, and that includes training camp. That includes training camp against the Ravens, and then, you know, the four preseason games, and then from there, if he's done what he should do, I think he should have some confidence heading into week one.
And is Malik Hooker a guy that is the candidate for to start the season as an IR designated to return guy?
That would keep him out till week six at the least.
I mean, he got hurt in October. So October would be a year.
Yeah, of all the people on the roster currently like battling themselves back, I would say yes. We don't know Marlon Mack's status with the shoulder surgery.
Well, you can keep two, right? You can keep two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just thinking of, right, you know, last year there was like 20. It seemed like there's like 20 guys that could have had that designation. So it's good at this point in the offseason that there's only a couple guys maybe in consideration. But yeah, for sure he would be. But if you're the Colts, you don't even want to think about that until you creep a little closer to minicamp.
And you mentioned Marlon Mack. The update, at least so far, that we have is that he should be back and be fine, that he's not going to be in that conversation. But you don't know once they start getting back and doing rehab.
Eric Swope last year had just a clean little cleanup of his knee, and we thought, you know, he'd be back early in the season, and then, no, he was put on IR.
Yeah.
Couldn't quite get to 100%. So you just never know. Again, I want Marlon Mack in there, you know,
I want Malik Hooker.
I want all these guys in there, but you just never know until you get kind of a little closer to that, you know, those kind of established deadlines.
Malik Hooker last year was the best player the Colts had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just looked different than everybody else. Malik Hooker was just
a physical specimen. He was a difference maker when he was out there on the field.
He was, I would agree. He was the biggest difference maker on defense, and he was also just the best player. Yeah. He physically looks different than everybody.
And I think, too, because, I mean, obviously he was a rookie, but when he was back there, you just kind of took a little bit, at least I did in the press box, a little bit like, oh, like this will be entertaining to watch. Mm-hmm. Even if the, you know, everything up front kind of falls apart, let Malik Hooker fly around for you.
He's got a lot of, and I don't mean play style, but he's got a lot of Bob Sanders in him for me, where when he's on the field, I'm watching him. I'm not necessarily watching the ball. I'm watching him because he's going to end up where the ball is.
Yeah. And I would do the same with Clayton Gethers.
Yeah.
I would do the same with Clayton Gethers in 2016. Yeah. Whenever he was on the field, I was watching him because he was going to end up. That's a good one. So you get both of those guys back. Hopefully, my goodness, that'll be fun to watch. But another guy that has talked to the media this week who needs to be a big year for him is Chester Rogers. Flipping the script, let's go offense here. This is a player that last year was so up and down for him. This year, he has an opportunity to be that second wide receiver on this roster. He's got a lot of competition there with him, but he could be that guy. And here's what he had to say when he just talked about how different the culture is now this year compared to last year.
Like the first day we got here, I was like, is this what like a real organization feels like? You know, just the energy and just the coaches and everybody, just the atmosphere. Like it really feels different. So I'm really loving it.
Man.
Woo!
I will say, you know,
wow,
some media members, and understandably so, he said it, kind of ran with that, and the National kind of picked it up. I don't think he was saying that necessarily as a
It was a direct response to the way the question was asked.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest.
But it is, it's eye-opening.
Want to hear it again?
Like the first day we got here, I was like, is this what like a real organization feels like? You know, just
I know.
An answer's an answer.
But it is. But I mean, here, take it, guy. That's what everyone has been saying this offseason. It's so different. Is this, you know, we're getting a lot thrown at us. The energy is higher and your luck's back in the building. Yeah. I mean, there's more factors than just this coaching staff running around. Yeah, that's a big deal about it. But it's a different year for him as well. I mean, Dante Moncrief is gone. This is totally different for Chester Rogers, not just the coaching aspect. I don't think that was where the dagger was exactly. I don't know. Is that painting a really pretty picture?
I mean, he has tests now to put on his refrigerator.
He does.
He got a 96 on his last test. And
look, Mom.
Yeah.
In case you missed it, the way that they're installing this offense apparently is written test. Guys, if we sat down and took a test right now, which one of us would get the highest score?
Well, not me.
I don't care what the test is. I'm a terrible test taker.
I am too.
Really?
I was an English minor, broadcast major. I don't do tests. I write papers, okay?
I was cringing as Ryan Grant was describing they just had a midterm with fill in the blank, true and false. I was like, what is this?
What kind of midterm is that?
Well, no, I'm like, well, what is it? Like, I didn't want to hear the word midterm ever again in my life after graduating
college.
Much less
taking one.
Man, if my midterms were multiple choice, I would have been cum laude.
Oh, Lord. Well, okay, back to Chester Rogers. Hello, everyone. Back to this.
Buckle up out there.
Yeah, exactly. We warned you at the beginning. But I mean, come on. Chester Rogers saying that it's a different feel in the building. I don't think we're surprised by his comments at all. But, I mean, you add in the competition he has. Maytay, I know we've almost run this topic into the ground. Walker, you too. It is a big year for Chester Rogers to finally figure it out. Stay healthy.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah. Stay healthy and then find his role. They're trying him out on special teams a lot. They're trying to fit him into the wide receivers. This is the year you almost need to know, you know, week four or five, who Chester Rogers is.
I would completely agree. He's got to stay healthy. He had that chance last season in training camp, but he had that bad hamstring problem that kept him out of the preseason. Chester has shown flashes. He's shown flashes that he can play, but it just hasn't been consistent. So this is a really big year for him as he looks to take on a number two, a number three receiver role. He says he's been working on his body. He's been doing yoga. He loves the new offense. He thinks he can thrive in it. But you need to know what he is by the end of training camp.
Yeah, because he's got Nyheim Hines, who's coming in as potentially that special teams that could take over Chester's role that he played a little bit on special teams.
Yeah.
So he's got competition coming at every angle of every position.
Punt returner.
I mean, this is where you have to know. I mean, Chester cannot get lost in the shuffle here. He needs to make sure that, like I said, 3 or 4 weeks into the season, he's solidified his role of who he is. It'd be great at the beginning of the season, but I just think with it being rookies that he's competing against, they're going to give them the shots that they need, even in the regular season. But you hit, you know, week six, and we need to know, oh, Chester Rogers is going out there, you know, for punt return or for kick return, or he's lining up in this. You know, we just need to know what Chester Rogers is going to do.
He's also, and it's not, and both of them acknowledge they're not competing against each other necessarily, but Ryan Grant and Chester Rogers, one's going to do one thing. It's going to be like that commercial, anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah.
Like they're going to try to be one-upping each other, and that's great for competition. Then you got these couple of rookies who have a lot of, you know, upside and talent who are going to be watching that. And, mm-hmm. you know, you got Reggie Wayne in the mix as a volunteer coach. So while the depth at wide receiver, that was a big question mark heading into free agency in the draft. It seems like the competition and just that tightness of the group itself is going to really work wonders for the
group.
You
mean it all came together? You mean they figured it out?
That's not, you know, the fans seemed like they wanted another body there. They got Ryan Grant. They got two.
Do you mean Dez Bryant? Is that what you're talking about?
I asked Chris Ballard.
Yeah, you did.
Because he mentioned Dez
Bryant. The presence of Dez Bryant.
Yeah, his pro day at Oklahoma State and his presence, you could feel it. And I was like, hey, while we're on that subject, any interest in Dez Bryant? And he gave a pretty, you know, non-answer, you know, well, we like Dez Bryant, but we'll focus on the draft first.
There's only 13 names on the Colts roster right now, a wide receiver, so.
I would expect Dez Bryant, wherever he goes, to land
yeesh.
Again, like today or tomorrow, where before this deadline comes for comp pick. But yeah, that wouldn't that be something if Dez Bryant landed on this roster?
Well, this roster is going to see some changes. We'll keep you updated with all of those and kind of what that means for the depth chart. the way too early depth chart for the Colts as we go through this offseason.
Hey, before we wrap up, I can ask you guys this question because you're both younger than I am and you're both more
cool.
You're cooler than I am and you're on social media
more impressive,
than I am.
Just more talented.
You've said one
more
true thing
around.
About me about Ooh, social media. But
man, but I tell you what, how do you guys feel about the Andrew Luck Civil War Twitter account?
Top five.
Captain Andrew
Top
Luck.
Here's
something. I got a little annoyed yesterday because there's faux Andrew Luck. Or fat, you know, however you want to spell it. And there's Captain Andrew Luck, and there's some sort of battle between those two. Of I said it first. No, I said it.
Well,
first.
Well, who cares? Captain Andrew Luck says it best.
See, but I know what you're getting at here, Matt.
Is it funny though?
I think it's so funny.
I think it's hilarious, and then I think when it's predictable, it's not. I like it when it's random and when you know it pertains to kind of a you know, whatever's going on in his career at random times. But when it's every week or every, I just, you know.
From what I can tell, it started after the AFC Championship game because that's when his beard was like really in full
terrific,
Civil War
terrific,
mode.
Yeah.
And that's the genesis of the picture. And then they kind of just took an idea and ran with it. To me, I equate it to like, it's the equivalent of like a Saturday Night Live reoccurring skit that's just way past its prime.
No way. Come on. Everyone,
it's
no way.
Completely driven
Everyone is
the
still talking about Andrew Luck, whether what arm he uses to open the door after dinner. And this guy is at least making it funny. I appreciate
guy or gal.
Guy or gal, yeah. 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 That person
well,
is making it funny. I think that's the best part.
Though. I mean,
it is funny.
As far as like fake Twitter accounts and social media accounts go, I think that is by far the most overrated one there is.
Didn't you say that you were asking us this, Matt Taylor? You were asking
no,
us.
I just
your
wanted
opinion,
your opinion.
Doesn't
no.
matter.
This is a leading question.
No,
a very leading question.
You were baiting us.
I will say I agree on both sides, but.
No, you can't
hearing,
do that.
Hearing Andrew Luck read one, though, and maybe
so
he'll read
funny.
More.
I appreciate your opinion. I just don't agree with it.
Hearing him read one is pretty funny, though.
Come
Even
on.
Though he said
but
opossum.
You know what? It's working. He did say
he
opossum.
He said opossum.
Well,
said
I mean,
opossum.
For sure, it's got like 230,000 followers.
But honestly,
sure
when
working.
Andrew Luck said opossum, I was like, have I been
yeah,
saying?
He's so smart.
Like, he's so smart, and he reads some. Have I been doing this wrong?
You're hearing Andrew Luck's inner monologue, and this whole time he's been saying opossum wrong. So,
oh my gosh. But you know what? The account, whether you like it or not, it's working because we just spent time on the daily update talking
about
Captain
about
Andrew
If I never see it
Luck.
Again, I'd be fine with it.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to retweet every single one because I think they're so funny.
I'm going to email you every time one comes out. And
I'm
make
turning,
sure
your,
you
noti- don't worry, I'm turning your notifications on.
Yeah, I see them anyways. It doesn't matter if you send them to me anyways.
Oh, I'm sending them.
I get them. They're impossible to miss.
I'm going to send them and send a screenshot out every time I send you a
I'm just putting it in the group message. They're absurd and hilarious.
It's pretty well played
I mean, some of them are funnier than others, but there are more times than not. Like, during the season, I will sit there at my desk and just read and scroll and cry.
It's like Wayne's World, though. It's like the Night at
the
Roxbury
hilarious?
Guys.
Oh.
You know, after a while, it just was like...
so funny.
You know, you're watching Saturday Night Live, and like, we're doing this again? Really? All right. That's kind of how I feel.
All right. Well, I hope everyone agrees with me on this and not these two. We've got one sitting on the fence, one saying it's not good, but all of us agree to talk about it for a couple of minutes on the Daily Update.
It's jump the shark like Fonzie. You don't get that reference. It's
I get
shark.
It. Do you get it, Caroline?
No, I don't get it.
So Arthur
Fonzarelli. Tell her off the air.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's the Daily Update. We told you to buckle
it,
up
Caroline.
And hang on. I hope you did. Everyone have a wonderful Thursday. Goodbye.